Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his series of messages in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. As you've learned, Jesus is our shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He leads us, watches over us, guides, and protects us. You want to know more about our good shepherd? Let's listen and learn.
Jesus was, eternally possessed, all which makes God, God. He was the same as his Father, yet distinct in person. As God, Jesus possessed eternity, or he had no beginning and he has no end. He possessed omnipresence, or he was all at all places, at all times, in every sense. He possessed omniscience, or he knew all things in every sense, and he was omnipotent, or all-powerful, or he possessed infinite power and authority over all things in every sense that are consistent with his nature. What I mean by that is, you know, God can do all things that are consistent with the nature. God can do all things that are holy. Now, you know, some people trying to be smart often ask me the question, Pastor Kinlow, can God do everything? And of course I answer, yes. Can God lie? No. Well, then he can't do everything. God can only do things that are consistent with his nature. So we don't understand God cannot lie. Impossible. It is not part of his nature. So, yeah, God can do everything consistent with his holy nature. Yes. And so this is who Jesus was. But Jesus was also a man, also human in every sense, with the exception that he had no sin nature and no personal sin. As a human being, Jesus could bleed. He could become hungry. He could become thirsty. He could cry real tears. He could experience real pain. He could experience real sorrow and real grief. As a man, he could die. Thus, he was like us from the standpoint that he had all of the sinless infirmities we all have. Yet he was unlike any of us, for even though he was human like us and thus able to die, he was also God, and thus he could only die when he chose to die. This is why Jesus says of himself in the text we are studying, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay my life down so I can take it up again. He says very plainly, no one has taken it from me. There was not a Roman soldier in ancient Rome that could have driven nails in his hands unless he chose to let him do it. Amen. No one could thrust their spear in his side unless he chose to let them do it. Amen. He told Pilate, you have no authority over me. And Pilate thought he was crazy. He said, don't you know you're talking to I have power over your life? And the Lord said, no, you don't. Yes. Wow. You have none over me. And he told him, I could just speak a word and legions of angels would come down and just kill up everybody. Amen. No man can take my life. Yes, I can die, but you can. I can die when I want to die. Amen. We can see Jesus fulfilled these words in John 19:30 during his crucifixion. John 19:30 reads like this. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Or as it reads in the King James, he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He died. John simply tells us Jesus died. But Luke gives us a little more information by giving us these words. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. The Greek phrase there in John 19:30, where it says he gave up, in the words he gave up his spirit, or King James, he gave up the ghost. It's a Greek word, paradidomai. And it means to commit over to another. In this case, it means to commit something over to the Father. And what was committed to the Father was Jesus' spirit. The endings on this Greek word indicate who was doing the committing of Jesus' spirit up to the Father. When you read the Greek language, these endings, they give a distinction. It could indicate someone else giving Jesus' spirit over to the Father. or it could indicate Jesus of his own will giving up his spirit to the Father. In this case, it was Jesus through his own will giving his spirit up to the Father, for the text in John 19 and 30 literally says Jesus dismissed his spirit. No one could take Jesus' life.
Amen.
Only he could dismiss his spirit. The Bible says when Jesus knew all things had been accomplished that he was supposed to accomplish, he then dismissed his spirit. Now, you know, I've heard people saying, well, you know, they just died because, no, you know, when you die, it's because God let you. When we die, it's because it's our time. And you ain't going past it. I don't care what you do. And a doctor on earth can take you past God's time. Amen. A doctor can't even help himself or herself. Stay here. Past God's time. Last time I went to visit my family doctor, what, you limping, doc? He was... I said, doc, you need to see a doctor. Amen. Called back in several weeks later for an appointment. They said, well, he had to get his knees replaced. Amen. He won't be here for a while. So doctors are good and thank Jesus for them. Amen. But they can't take you past your time. You go on when God says it's time. Somebody else can take you out. Jesus was different. He was unique. No one could take him out. Amen.
Amen.
Tony Soprano could not have put a hit on him. Amen. No man takes my life. I lay it down. He died, but unlike anyone else, he could not die until he chose to die by literally dismissing his spirit. Jesus was truly unique. And the only one of his kind, for he was a man, was also God. As a man, he could die, but as God, you can't make me die. I die when I want to die. Amen. Then John 10, 18 says this, as soon as I get there. No one has taken it away from me. But I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. Jesus was like us, for he could die as we shall all die, but he was unlike us because he could only die when he chose to die. For no man could take his life because he laid it down of his own initiative. Not only could Jesus not die until he chose to die, but he had the authority to lay his life down and he had the authority to take his life back or raise himself from the dead. The word authority in, you use a New American Standard Bible, it's the word power in the King James. It's a Greek word, exousia. It literally means you have the power, but you also have the right to exercise it.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Exousia means you have power, but you also have the right to exercise that power. It means you have the right or liberty to do something, but also you possess the authority to exercise the right or the liberty to do whatever it is you do. The best example I can give to illustrate that is the fact that, you know, all of us have the power to put someone to death, but none of us has the authority or right to put someone to death. You know, I had the power to wear the badge of an officer of the law, as a policeman does, but I don't have the authority to wear it. I could steal a policeman's badge and put it on me. Amen. So I had the power to do that, but I don't have the authority to wear it. In the Greek language, there is an exousio power and there's a dunamis power. Dunamis means you have the power, but you don't have the right to exercise it. Unlike us, Jesus had the power and the right to use it. Jesus had the power to choose to die or end his life when he wanted to, but he also had the authority to end his life when he chose. Because Jesus was a man, he could die, but because he was God, he could only die when he chose to die. Not only this, but because he was a man, he could die, but because he was God, he had the authority or the power and the right or the liberty to die of his own will. All of us as humans have power to end our lives. But none of us has the right to do it. Hear what I just said? Amen. All of us have the power to end our own lives, but you have no right and authority from God to do it. You can take a gun and blow your brains out, but you have no authority from God to do that. You can overdose on pills, you know, but you have no authority and right given you from God to do that. All of us have the power or capability of ending our lives various ways, but none of us have the authority or right to end our lives. Jesus is like us, for he could choose to die, but unlike us, he had the authority and the right to end his life or dismiss his spirit back to his Father. You see, beloved, Jesus is like us, but he's not like us. He is unique. He's the only one of his kind, for he is both man and God, God and man. Can do what man can do, yet without sin, but can also do what God can do because he's the man God and the God man. He is the Word who was with God and was God and became flesh but never ceased to be God. Jesus not only had the power and authority or right to lay his life down, but he also had the power and authority to take his life back up again. All of us will one day die, just as Jesus died, with the difference being Jesus died, number one, of his own will and by his own choice, but totally unlike any of us, Jesus had the power and the right or the authority to take his life back again. I've heard of a lot of great leaders, but ain't none of them claiming I'm gonna die and then I'm going to raise myself. Amen. I ain't see no Democrat or Republican can make that claim. Amen. Now, we act like they can, but they can't. Amen. We worship these guys and these women like, you know, we can't make it without them. And they're the savior of the world. Well, if you are, lay your life down and then take it back up again and we'll give you some consideration. Amen. Nobody but Jesus could make a statement like this. I will kill myself. I'll give my life, but I'll take it back again. This is why we'll see next week. Some folks said this man is crazy. He wasn't crazy. He's both God and man. Man and God. So he could boldly make that claim. Now let me see if I can explain this to you. Jesus had the power and the just right, the just authority to raise himself from the dead. He not only has the power, but the right, the authority to raise himself from the dead. All of us can choose to die or take our own life, even though we have no right to do that. And if we do make the choice to end our lives, we have no power and right to take it back again. None of us have the power or the right or the authority to raise ourselves from the dead, but Jesus did. Because Jesus was human, he could die, but because he was God, he had the power and the right to raise himself back from the dead. This can be said of no one else besides Jesus, the man God and the God man. Now let me see if I can explain it. It's deep. It's to me, but I may be of another mindset. Amen. You see, beloved, when we die, we deserve to die. Now, you listen, you might learn something. Amen. When we die, we deserve to die because of our sin. Let me say it again. When we die, we deserve to die because of our sin. We have no right and no authority on our own whatsoever to live again after we die, for all of our deaths are rightly deserved by all of us because of our sin. Jesus, like all of us, could die, but his death was not deserved through any sin he had done because he was sinless. Jesus had no sin nature and no personal sin. Listen at this. Therefore, death had no just claim upon him, and thus he could not be held by the grip of death. Y'all don't know what I'm saying. See, when we go, we deserve to be out of here. Amen. Because most of us got a whole Our sin is your thought life alone. Amen. Is horrific at best. He had no sin nature. He had no personal sin. Listen to what I'm saying. Therefore, death did not have a just claim to him. So when he dies, death cannot hold him down. Let me see if I can picture it like this. The Lord dies of his own will. He dismisses his spirit. Death wraps his arms around him. Got him down for 3 days. But death says, I'm trying real hard, but I can't hold him. He's too much. He's too proud. See, y'all don't understand. Death had to release him. Amen. Death had no grip on him. Death had no right to keep him. He had to get up. That's why I could tell him, destroy this temple in 3 days. I'll raise it. They thought he was crazy. Yeah, this dude's crazy. See, he's going to die. He's out of his mind. Death had no claim on him. Death had to release his grip because he was sinless and no sin. Now, let me let you on another secret. You are in Christ. Christ is in you, if you know him. Now, we talked about how you've been justified by God. The moment you said yes to the Lord, come into my life and save my soul, and you meant it. At that moment, God justified you. And what did he do? He declared you innocent of all sin. Now, we used to say he looks at you just as if you never sinned. No, in his sight, you are sinless.
Hallelujah.
Y'all know where I'm going, don't you?
Yes, you teach us.
And this is why the person who dies in Christ, death has no hold on them.
Praise God.
This is why on that great day when the Son of God descends on that cloud and he cries out with a shout in the voice of an archangel, this is why if you know him, you will rise because death has no just claim on you. And it's not because of us, but it's because of him. Because he died for us in our place. Amen. And death could not hold him down because death had no claim on him. I'm in him and he's in me. Therefore, death has no claim on me. Amen. This is why when those who die in the Lord, we never say goodbye. We always say, we'll see you a little later on. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus was different. He wouldn't like Joe in the bar. Most certainly he was like us, for he could die like all of us. But unlike us, he had no sin nature and no personal sin, and thus death had no just claim over him. Therefore, he had the right and the authority to raise himself from the dead or take his life back after he willingly gave it in behalf of us. He was truly unique. He was the only one of his kind. He was like us, but not like us. He was human like us, but unlike us, he was God. Now, let me end this by saying this. What are some of the ramifications of this truth, or what else must be true because that is true? That is, Jesus is like us, but not like us. He's both man and God, God and man. As I thought about this question in my study yesterday afternoon, I was really unable to write anything down. Not because I could not think of anything to say, but because there's so much to say, I didn't know where to begin. Amen. Let me just mention a few, though. Because Jesus is unique, the only one of his kind, and he is the only one, and the one and only one, for he is both fully God and fully man. He is in a class all by himself. He is literally the only human being who can truthfully say and not be bragging, you can't touch this. Now, you know, MC Hammer said that, but they touched him, amen. IRS touched him, amen. The bank touched him. And poverty touched him, amen. Don't y'all remember you remember the Nationwide commercial? Life comes at you fast. Where he was dancing around with them pants. Can't touch. Next thing you know, the truck was driving off with this stuff. Amen. So yes, MC, you can't sing that song because they touched you up. Amen. But Jesus is the only one that can say you can't touch this. And you can't. He's the only one that can legitimately say that. He can legitimately say you can't touch this. And that's why we can glorify and magnify his person, his work, by telling whenever we have the opportunity that there is no one like you before. He is in a class all by himself. He is both God and man, man and God.
Yes.
And he could truly proclaim things no other man could say of themselves. Nobody else can say, you take my life, I'll take it back. That's the Savior that has saved us. That is the one whom we serve. Number two, because Jesus is unique, the only one of his kind, the one and only one who is both God and man, man and God. Those of us who know him need no other man, no other thing, no other experience to be right before God or to be more spiritual in this world, because when you know Jesus, you literally know it all. Amen. Or because this Jesus knows you. You are literally possessed, or you're in the hands of someone who no one else is like, and thus no one else can do what he has done, is doing right now, or will do. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you know him, you're all right. Amen.
Amen.
You may be going through, but I'm telling you, it's all right.
Amen.
You might can't see it to the end of the day, but I guarantee you, once you lay your eyes on Jesus,
yes.
You will really say and mean it. God is good. Amen.
Yes.
All the time. Some of us, we won't realize till we get to heaven, understand God had it under control all along. Amen. And we was fretting and sweating and biting nails and hair falling out and hair graying and this and that. And we get to heaven, we'll find out, wow, he was in control all along. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because he is unlike it. Three, Jesus is unique, the only one of his kind, the one and only one who is both God and man, man and God. See, when you know that, you can understand why things are said of him in the Bible that cannot be said of anyone else. When the Jewish religious leaders sent a group of temple guards to arrest him, they couldn't. Why? Because they said no man spake, even his word. We couldn't arrest him because no man spake as this man. You can understand why the demons, when they saw him, the Bible says they fell at his feet and they trembled. Have you come to torment us before the time? Demons got better sense than some of us. They knew who he was. Amen. And when he showed up, they fell bowed down. You can understand why Jesus could be hungry for bread, but they also feed a thousand with a few fish and five loaves of bread. And then leave each disciple a basket full. He could be hungry for bread, but because he was the bread of life, he could make bread from nothing. Amen. You can understand why Jesus could be thirsty as a man, but at the same time proclaim he was the water of life. You can understand why the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says of him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, because he's unique. Amen. You can understand why David in the psalm spoke of him. He said this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until your enemies are a footstool for your feet. The Lord said to the Lord, sit at my footstool until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The literal Hebrew says, Jehovah, the self-existent one, said to Adonai, the sovereign Lord of the universe, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. God says, the self-existent one says to the Lord of the universe. Now, you can't say that by anybody else. Amen. You can understand why the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You listen to him. Amen. You can understand why the Father can say of him in Hebrews 1:8, but of the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of his kingdom. You can understand why Jesus could say no one can go to heaven apart from him. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father. But you understand why not? Because of who he is. He's unique, the only one of his kind. When you understand just how unique Jesus is, he's unique, he's the only one of his kind, he's the one and only, he's in a class all by himself. You can understand Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. You can understand why, as a man, Jesus was confined geographically to a small area in Palestine during his earthly life. But at the same time, as God, he was immense. In other words, no space could contain him. Amen. When you begin to grasp the person of Christ, who he was, perfect God, perfect man, unique, the only one of his kind, the only one of his class, the one and only, it'll impact every area of your life. It'll impact how you think. It'll impact how you talk. It'll impact what you believe. It'll impact how you live your life. The reason why we have so many flaky Christians is that we don't know the Savior who has saved us. Amen. When you begin to know him, it'll impact everything. Amen. He's the only one of his kind. Amen. Let's pray. Amen. Father, I praise you and thank you for all things today. I thank you that you gave us your son, Jesus, the unique one, the only one of his kind. I'm so glad that I know him. And I'm so glad that he knows me. I'm so glad I know by me knowing him, at the end of the day, it'll be all right. I don't know what I'm going to go through on this earth before I leave here, but I know at the end of the day, it'll be all right. Because the one in whose hands I am, he's unique, one of a kind, the only one in his class. Nobody can say what he said and nobody can do what he do. Amen. I'm so glad that I know this Jesus, and I pray that you do also. If there is one today and you don't know the Lord, we implore you today to give your life to Jesus Christ by repentance and faith in him, his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. And you too can know this Jesus who is unlike any other. If there is one today, would you raise your hand? I really pray today that everybody that does not know the Lord will come to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. I pray if you don't know the Lord that you'll make it up in your mind to come to him before it's too late. Amen. I pray for everybody in the room today. It's been a unique year this year. Some of us, it was a tough year. Amen. Lost loved ones. Amen. But God has still blessed us. Amen. And we can still say God is a good God. Amen. And we can still say by faith that God has and God does all things well. We can still say nothing has happened except that which God has allowed to happen. Amen. Yeah. And we can still say that in spite of it all, God is in control. He sits on his throne. Amen. Yeah. And so we thank the Lord for bringing us through this year. And we pray and trust in the Lord for the upcoming year. Whatever your need is, I pray that God will meet it. I really pray for, I hope I'm not embarrassing, I really pray for Sister Tina today, amen. I know she's not feeling well. She had a fall. And I'm really praying that God will assuage her pain, amen. Amen. That God will just touch her right now in the name of Jesus. And do for her what only he can do, amen.
What a great message. The Good Shepherd's purpose for coming into this world to lay down his life for his sheep. What an act of love displayed on the cross for a people who did not deserve it. What an act of mercy and grace. Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures.